item number 9 from the Director of Department of Parks, Recreation, and Culture, providing a verbal status update on the South Shore Park Improvement Project. This item is informational only and thus otherwise directed by the committee.
Mr. Haley, Ms.
Hello.
Plesser, welcome.
Give us just a moment to queue up the new presentation.
Good morning, Chairman, Supervisors, Laura Schlesser, Chief of Administration, External Affairs for the Parks Department. What I wanted to share with you this morning was just an overview of the South Shore Park Improvement Project. One of the things about this project is that we have to look at the entire South Basin. This is an overview map of South Shore Park, which does include part of Lake Michigan, the marina up on the northern area. Oh, there, Kevin's got it. The beach, part of the Oak Leaf Trail, and the breakwater. We are currently studying, we have contracted with some consultants to study how best to implement the vision of a South Shore potential beach relocation to from the North Beach moving south. There's a lot of partners that we have dealt with over the years in this project, including Milwaukee County, the Sewage District, the Army Corps of Engineers, DNR, the Water Institute, City of Milwaukee Health Department, the Yacht Club, the Park Watch at South Shore, and consultants. So this is certainly a project that has a lot of stakeholders. Possible components of this overall project in the South Basin include breakwater repair, dredging, beach relocation, which is the topic of the current study that's being undertaken now, the parking lot modifications, and then stormwater repairs and improvements. Obviously, you know that we have made significant strides with Bradford Beach and the improvements that we've made there with the environmental health of the near shore in around McKinley Beaches and Bradford. We want to take those concepts and move them south, including South Shore Beach and Grant Beach. So this is hopefully going to be a component within in that effort to kind of revitalize this area and make this beach healthier. This slide, I know it's kind of busy, but the point of this slide is to say that this is not a new it's not a new topic down in the South Basin. There have been many, many meetings over the last, 10, 15 years especially in regards to the breakwater and the overall South Basin. And when I talk about that, it's the entire area, the park and the breakwater combined. We have also a lot of stakeholders, as I mentioned before. Coast Guard has been involved. We've also reached out to some of our state representatives, Representative Moore, Gwen Moore's office, Senator Cole. We've also been in touch with Johnson's office and Paul Ryan's office as well. So, we've dealt with a lot of people in regards to this because it's an overall issue, and I can kind of explain that as we go along. Just to give you a little perspective about the site, this is the existing beach as it stands now, looking south. The bottom picture is just give you, again, perspective toward downtown, looking north. That's the entire South Shore shoreline. We have the existing beach looking east into the lake, and you'll see there's the South Shore marina up toward the left there. And then the bottom picture is where we say the proposed beach location. And like I said, the study that is happening now is going to look at the feasibility of moving the beach towards the south. So this would be the location of that beach. Right off to the left, which is not indicated in the picture, is the South Shore Pavilion, which you may be familiar with, which is one of our major rental facilities. And this is the same site, but looking a different direction. We have the proposed beach location that is looking south. You'll see our Oak Leaf Trail as it winds north-south right along the lake. And then the same view, but just looking north. So hopefully that just gives you a little perspective in regards to the site itself. The breakwater, just to give you a little bit of history, The South Basin breakwaters were constructed 80 to 100 years ago, as you can see. Many of them have a lifespan of about 50 years, so we are certainly past that with some of the breakwater that is remaining that has not been fixed. 12,500 feet long. Ownership was transferred to Milwaukee County in 1950. Not everyone realizes that Milwaukee County is the owner of the breakwater itself in Lake Michigan. The South Breakwater was rebuilt in 06 and 07 through a capital project, but unfortunately the North Breakwater remains as it was built with timber cribbing. This area was not reconstructed as part of the initial project. The bottom picture is how it's kind of a stock photograph of timber cribbing. It is wood, and as you can imagine, being in the lake since 1913 or 1936, we're starting to see it degrade, and there's some significant problems with the stability and with the engineering of the site. Back in October of 2011, you may remember that we had a pretty wicked storm. We had significant wave action, and it caused serious damage with many of the boats that were moored in the South Shore Yacht Club and the South Shore Marina. Without further breakwater construction and looking north, which is the primary protective structure in and around the marina area, it does limit the ability of the harbor to serve as harbor of refuge. It does create unsafe boating conditions. What we're seeing is a significant buildup of sand on the beach side of the breakwater, which limits navigation. It increases shoreline erosion because there's not adequate protection of wave action as it comes from the lake, and then it limits public recreational use. We have a significant public and transient boaters coming in. It's not just, you know, members that utilize that site. We have a significant public access issue in that area too. It's not so much of a problem with those members because they understand the navigational hazards as they go through that area, but our visitors aren't quite aware of some of the hazards in the shallow water that has been created by these deposits of sand on the beach side of the breakwater. Some of the goals of this overall project is improve nearshore water quality, which we have been successful with at, again, Bradford and McKinley beaches. We want to create a stable long-term solution for the area. We want to delist the beaches impaired. There have been some E. coli contamination issues at this beach. We've been working with the city of Milwaukee. They have done testing, as well as the city of Racine. These are similar issues that we faced at Bradford and McKinley that we have been very successful at reducing. So we are very confident that we can take some of the things that we've learned at those beaches and move those solutions to South Shore as well. And then I think ultimately we want to see if we can go for Blue Wave certification at South Shore as well. The timeline, the beach relocation feasibility study that is currently underway, we expect completion of that study in fall of 2012. There will be regulatory and stakeholder review as it goes forwards, as well as public input, and then hopefully some recommended actions as we move forward into 2013. Just to give you a little bit of background on funding and some of the projects that have gone on down at the South Basin, in 2005 we did a shoreline revetment for $1.6 million, and that was a Milwaukee County capital project. In 2006 we made significant improvements to the bike trail, which was funded 80% by a federal grant. In 2006 and 2007, that was the Phase 1 and 2 South Breakwater project at a cost of $4.27 million. That was also a Milwaukee County capital project. Currently, we are undergoing the South Shore study, which was funded at 50-50 between Milwaukee County and the Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewage District. And then I have a lot of to-be-determines. You know, we want to look forward to what we can do to continue this project for that long-term solution. So timing and what the components of that project are certainly to be determined. We do have some possible funding options that we can look at, obviously capital, MMSD grants, some federal, state, and local grants, which we will certainly look into. As we look for funding, this month, actually, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers had a publication called The Great Lakes Coastal Infrastructure, Critical Protection at Risk. We've been in a lot of contact with the Corps to see if there is a possibility of federal funding to help us with this project. What we're hearing, and as indicated in this publication, non-commercial, non-federal harbors pretty much are at the very bottom of their priority list. The public funding, the federal funding that is available for projects like this are really geared toward large commercial Great Lakes federally funded harbors. So with ours, with South Shore, it's a very low budget priority, and as you can see in the last sentence, it pretty much has been deferred indefinitely. So we don't have much confidence at this point that there are federal dollars that can be put toward that, but we are not giving up. We are going to stay in contact with our state elected officials to make sure that this stays on their radar screen so that in the event that that funding does come available, that we're not forgotten.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for the insights, Ms. Schlesser. Can you show us, please, I'd like to point out some things about the current, so there's the beach on the north side, and then there is the proposed area that is on the south side. This is at the lakefront at South Shore Park. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Currently, for my colleagues on the committee's information, the existing beach, you see on the top of the slide there, it's not that good right now. The water actually kind of looks questionable. The beach isn't terribly beachy to me, so it could use some improvement. Then on the bottom half, you see the proposed location. Now, it looks like there's a large pile of big boulders. Right there. Do you know, Ms. Schlesser, is that part of the breakwall or the breakwater, or what that is? It's deliberately placed structure of boulders. I know that much.
If I might, Mr. Chairman, I can address that. It's a stone jetty. It was one of the capital projects that showed up on the list, and we constructed that 2005. Maybe a little bit before then. Its general purpose, the existing beach is here to the north and the proposed beach. As part of a project going back probably 20 years ago when we constructed the Oak Leaf Trail through here, we took advantage of some rock from the Deep Tunnel Project to build up this shoreline and protect it. And what was happening, generally the currents in the inner harbor here travel from south to north, and a lot of this finer stone was finding its way upstream and finding its way onto the beach. And in fact, you can see this little white edge along. We have this beautiful sand beach with stone there. So this structure was installed for a couple of reasons. One, to help slow down some of the larger currents in here, but keep this material from actually moving out and around the corner and making the beach worse. And it's an interesting thing because it's functioning very well. This area here is almost sort of a dune of this stone material that's been held behind. So it's keeping the majority of this from moving around. And what's really, I think, interesting about these pictures is you see the number of people that are out here utilizing this site. It's not beautiful soft sand. It is coarse crushed limestone, but it has created a very nice sort of natural beach terrace here.
Yeah. Okay, that answers my second question, actually, which was about the state of the currents. What's the proposed beach location? Because as you said, exactly, Mr. Haney, it's stones.
Go back to two or three.
A few inches across. So that is gathering, these are the stones that are coming up north along the lake shore. The jetty is gathering up those stones, I should say.
As Laura indicated, the breakwater to the south, This piece has been reconstructed. You can see a nice clean line there and how it's functioning very well. This is the main gap that the boats come in and out of. Here you can see this is some of the decaying area. This has never been reworked or restored. So we're getting issues with wave action coming through, actually breaching the break wall. And you see the deposits of sand that also come through and find their way. This is some of the stuff that impedes navigation. Now, generally, within the breakwater, its intent is to reduce the intensity of the waves coming in. But generally, the water sort of comes in the gap here and moves along the shore from south to north. So this is the jetty that we were just looking at that was constructed. And you can see the stone that had been placed in here 20-some years ago, that as the currents came through, they would pick up the stone, move it, and then as they got into the basin here itself, those currents greatly die down and it becomes nearly stagnant, and then they would deposit the additional stone along here. So that jetty was designed to help keep the quality of the beach in better shape, but part of the big problem here, and this is why we're doing a feasibility study to see whether it makes sense to move the beach from this location to this location, is all about water quality and fresh water. Common sense sort of says the closer you get to the source of fresh water, probably the better the water quality would be in here. These are some of the things we're going to look at. And are there solutions that can help to improve the overall circulation of water in here, the boat traffic and all that? So we haven't decided, that it will work, but it certainly makes sense. This is a great location. The people are already using it. It provides pretty good access, and we're thinking that generally, the data is showing that the water quality degrades as we move further north into the basin. It's really an issue of circulation. We also believe that there's some issues related to stormwater discharges in the area and possible cross connections, all of the things that we're going to pursue to see if there are other solutions. But right now, the project that we're looking at is the potential for the beach relocation, and then the bigger picture is all of the other things down here in the South Shore Basin. What else can we do to revitalize it as we've done further north in Bradford and McKinley?
Very good. Thank you. And this slide also answers the second question I had, which was, can you point out where the decaying breakwater is? For our listening audience, we're looking at an overhead shot of the South Shore Park area. And people that know South Shore Park, if you're looking at it from the beach or from up on the near the pavilion, it is to the north, closer to the downtown, past the opening out to the lake. So that the wall out there in the lake, the northern, the breakwater, that is the one that is still constructed from timber from many moons ago. Okay. And very insightful too, Mr. Haley, thank you for about, I did not know, for instance, there was sand coming through that breakwater, as you said.
It's a large concern for navigation, as Laura indicated. Mm-hmm. Regular users, yacht club members, all know about where these hazards lie, but transient users coming through the area can have great issues. Mm-hmm. You can actually see, if you look closely, at some of the deposits forming in here. So part of the long-term solution is how do you make that go away and keep it sustainable so that we're not having ongoing problems.
Chairman, if I could just clarify one thing. What we're looking at, especially, and it does indicate it on this slide, is where those sand deposits are on the beach side, on the northern breakwall. The idea and what we're interested in learning is, if we're going to look at the beach relocation, is it possible to take the sand that is currently built up, that we need to remove anyway, from that area, and would we be able to move it right to the new beach? We wouldn't have transportation. We would have a lot less cost associated with it, with the disposal of it then. So we're really interested in seeing if that is even possible, and that's part of that study.
Okay. And one more question, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Schlesser, you indicated that there's E. coli contaminations occurring there at that beach. Do either of you have information as to what is the source of that E. coli, the contaminated water?
Chairman, supervisors, one of the main components that they have, meaning City of Milwaukee, and some research that we have gotten from the City of Racine Health Departments, a lot of it is from gulls, seagulls. which is a similar source of contamination that we have seen with Bradford and McKinley that, again, we have been very successful at reducing. So we do think it's certainly a manageable issue. It's not the only source of contamination, but it is a main source. There might also be some contamination from stormwater runoff that comes from that northern parking lot as well.
Dare I ask, Mr. Chairman, with this, the seagulls leaving us these gifts of E. coli, does that come from people feeding the seagulls? Or is it just, do you think it's from them? Is it, people love to feed the birds, of course, but they would produce that regardless of whether they got bread, I think, or whatever seagulls eat over the course of the day. It's kind of a problem, actually, at Humboldt Park, because people feed the geese there. And then we, the county and the county parks, need to clean up the sizable gifts that the geese leave for us as a result of that.
Chairman, supervisors, I'm certainly not a gull expert, but the information I've received is that certainly not feeding of wildlife does contribute to the fact that they stay around. And I know that it certainly doesn't help the issue that they know that there's a food source close. So.
And if I might, Chairman, just to add to that, further exacerbating the problem is issues related to poor circulation of the water currents within the basin. In fact, for those that are there regularly, right by the boat launch here, there's a sandbar island that's actually forming right off the shoreline, very popular with the avian crowd, geese, gulls, all sorts that hang out. So we've got dry sandbars being created, we've got poor circulation, we've got people feeding. There's a whole series of issues that seem to add to this. And I will add, there's a wealth of data. Great Lakes Water Institute's been helping us study this. We have lots and lots of data that we're now trying to pour through and see if we can come up with some answers as to exactly to what extent these problems are brought on by gulls and other things, and maybe how we can address some of them.
Okay. Thank you both. And, Mr. Chairman, I will close by making a public service message saying please do not feed the lovely animals at our parks, because they will hang around and expect more food, and then we have to clean up their messes. And also, please have your pets spayed or neutered. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Supervisor Murkowski.
Thanks for letting me go after that public service. Well, Supervisor Haas did steal my thunder. I will tell you that I'm trying to get the Sierra Club endorsement. Let me say that the Canadian geese and seagulls are disgusting, filthy animals. And it's very acute down there at the beach, simply because you've got a lot of people that are accessing the water to go swimming. And while we can deal with them at places like Greenfield Park, et cetera, where there's not a public, in essence, launch or swimming area, I actually haven't heard anything about what we're going to do to remediate both the gulls and the Canadian geese. We have not had a harvest for a while, and it might be time that we do that. And the other thing is that if that beach is going to be open on a regular basis, then there's going to have to be some eradication, because those birds are feeding off of the picnics that are taking place above the beach area all the way through that park. And so there needs to be some eradication, and there's way too many. And I can only imagine and appreciate the people that have boats at the South Shore Yacht Club, and seeing all of the things that are left on their equipment, because when you go down there, they're out of control. So I know that Supervisor Haas brought that up, but I wanted to reemphasize that point.
Are there further questions by committee members? We have two people who would like to be heard from, representing the South Shore Yacht Club, Dave Tahalka, and David, is it Wayner? I can't read the last letter.
Wayne S.
Wayne S. Okay, that's an S. Please come forward.
The Sierra Club was neutral this year. Neutral. My wife worked for the Sierra Club for about 10 years, let's see. And I've been a member since 71. But that's separate. Okay. Thank you for allowing us to speak on this project. We've been talking to various government entities for about 10 years, if not more. Dave Tahulka, next to me here, is a past Commodore at South Shore Yacht Club and has been working with a number of the government entities for a while. I'm the current Commodore. Let me just make a couple of comments about the Yacht Club, and that is it was founded in 1913, so next year will be our 100th anniversary. Many, many changes have occurred over these 100 years. The current building that we have was erected in 1938, and the most recent remodeling was in 2005-2006. The first slips that you see on in the picture there were some of those were erected in 1945. They were destroyed a couple of years later in a storm, and the current slips that you see were erected starting in 1962 through about 1988. Some of them have been rebuilt recently, and we continue to improve the facilities at the site. In the last about 8 years, I'd say, we spent about $1 million on the building and slip renovation and things. And as you probably know, I assume you know, that when we signed the current lease between the Yacht Club and Milwaukee County in 2003, ownership of the building and the docks and all that infrastructure was transferred to the county. So you own all of that now, and we'd like to see you move forward in doing your best to protect it. We love the beach. When I was a child and my father was a member of the club, we used to swim there. I haven't taken my kids to that beach in a long, long time. So we're looking forward to seeing it improved, and we're hoping that the current plan of moving it south is going to improve the water quality there and improve safety overall, not only for the swimmers but also for the boaters. The breakwall is kind of an interesting story. A lot of money was spent back in the 90s to fix the breakwalls up in the McKinley Marina area. And then just a few years ago, that south portion, about a mile of that south portion of the breakwall, was redone. And what's been left unattended to is about a 0.6 mile section that runs from that gap that you see there north to about where the Coast Guard station is. We've had some rather spectacular storms lately. Water, the waves crashing over the wall. They've made the national news, in fact, for some of those. There's been some damage to boats in the area and boats in our slips, but also boats in the mooring basin. The mooring basin is not part of South Shore Yacht Club. The mooring basin is managed by the City of Milwaukee. And one of those, I think there was a photo here of a boat washed up on shore, whatever. I don't think that was a Yacht Club member's boat. That was just a boat that was in the mooring field that got broken loose from its mooring because waves approached a height of about 5 feet inside the break wall there during that storm. So it's not just Yacht Club members. It's members of the general public that are impacted here when we have problems with the break wall. We're kind of lucky now. The lake level is low. Good news, bad news. The good news is most of the time the break wall does its job. Bad news is, of course, the siltation that we have causes us some depth issues. And as Laura mentioned, it's not really the members who have water depth issues. It's other people who bring their boats through there. It's kind of fun for us to watch the ball get stuck. People from the Milwaukee Community Sailing Center who bring boats down in this area and don't understand what's going on or where to go. People who launch their boats at the public ramp tend to get stuck when they go north. And so there's a lot of things that we can do if we improve this to make it better for those folks as well as other yachters coming in from other parts of the Great Lake. We host a couple of major events at the Yacht Club that people from all over Lake Michigan attend. One of those is our annual Queen's Cup race. We bring in about 200 boats and about 1,500 crew members. They enjoy the facility. They enjoy Milwaukee. They enjoy Summerfest. They have a good time. But we need to make it a safe place for them to bring their boats, or they won't come. So we do need to do some of these improvements. If the lake level returns to normal or even above normal levels, or heavens, if it gets as high as it was in the 80s, the break wall clearly will not be adequate and needs to be fixed. So that needs to get done. As Laura mentioned, we've talked to Cole's office, Ryan's office, Moore's office, a number of those, and the responses just are not very encouraging. If we could convince the Army Corps of Engineers that this breakwall is actually part of the overall Port of Milwaukee structure, there might be a chance. I don't know that we can get any funding from them, though. In addition to the breakwall, water quality could be improved if we could do something about some of the runoff from the large parking lots there. We've talked about this. There are some things that Milwaukee County has done at some of your other parks. Whitnall Park is an example. Up along Bradford Beach is another one. And we might be able to use some of those same techniques and adapt them to the South Shore area. And we might be able to get some Great Lakes restoration funds for this. And South Shore Yacht Club is willing to assist in the grant writing process if help is needed or desirable there. Unfortunately, I fear for those Great Lakes restoration funds if we have a change at the presidential level this fall. I don't know what's going to happen there, but money is tight, and I know there was a big push for that, but each year the funding decreased. We've also, again, talked about some of the sandbar issues and things. A couple other things I want to quickly note here. One is you've looked at the breakwall on the slide there, and one of the things that there's nothing to the south. It's open all the way to Chicago at the south. So there is so when we get a south wind and we talk about water traveling up through there, there's nothing to stop or to slow the waves down or break the waves down coming from the south. We've also talked about water quality. I have to point out there's an MMSD overflow at the very, very north end of this basin, and on occasion things can get kind of ugly down there, and that certainly doesn't help our E. coli situation. So moving the beach south moves that beach further from that outfall. So, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kahalka.
Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, Dave Kahalka, past Commodore, South Shore Yacht Club. First, I'd like to address Supervisor Haas's comment about feeding the waterfowl. About 6 years ago, I had Representative Johnson down there, and we reviewed the site where there are two prominent signs that say, "Do not feed the waterfowl," at which time a car came, made a big U-turn, window was down, out came a loaf of bread, and the car sped off, and the gulls and the geese and the ducks just flooded the area. So thank you for your comments on do not feed the waterfowl, but we don't support it. However, since 2000, I've been a member of the Milwaukee Harbor Safety Committee, which is now defunct. Apparently, the Coast Guard has other things more important. They used to run that meeting. At that meeting, it's a meeting of, as it's a committee, it lacks any sources of funding, motions, approvals, anything. It's usually 40 to 50 people from government and local industry getting together to see how one can help the other one in certain situations. At that time, my comments were the inadequate breakwall to the east, the sandbar inside the breakwall, submerged hazards at the north end of the mooring basin and to the south. The south one is right in line with the was right in line with the launch site at South Shore Park. As Mr. Wenis commented, I also brought up the wave abatement from the south, and we have measured between 6 and 7 foot waves coming through the mooring field and the marina from Chicago. I mean, it comes right up that trough. Corps of Engineers looked into it, and they suggested possibly a floating break wall, which would not impede the flow of current to keep the water clean. However, it was unfeasible because they had to be taken out in winter and put back in summer, which is extremely costly. Basically, what they are is hollow concrete boxes chained to the bottom of a lake floor, and they bob, and they're hooked together, and they break up the surface wave activity. Working with the Corps of Engineers, Milwaukee Police Department, County Parks, and others, we've been able to take care of some of the improvements through interworkings. Removal of the south hazard was done by identifying it from the Milwaukee Police Department. They did some dive team practices out there and ascertained that it was a mooring, a public mooring, that's been in there for a long time. And because the 55-gallon drum tipped sideways, sailboat keels were getting damaged and loosened up from the hull. At the request of one of the members who has a mooring service there, he volunteered to take it out. So that hazard is gone. The north hazard, Corps of Engineers came down, and all they were able to get up was about a 1 foot ball of foundry slag. And we figure that, and the historians at the club figure that that was a result of moving the submarine at the Russell Pier. The way that dredging was done prior to today is you take it from here and pile it over here. You take it from here and you pile it over here. We've been able, with the help of Gill and Company and another mooring service, to put a buoy marking that hazard. However, it's been off location by 200 feet. I can't seem to get it moved. The Sea Scouts, who use the area and have a facility there, have put out red 1 gallon bottles with anchors outlining that area. It's not very professional, but that's what they can afford. Again, I'd like to thank those folks involved in trying to help eliminate the problems. Those two problems, I can say, I feel pretty comfortable with. However, the wave abatement, the break wall, the sandbar are extremely important to the Milwaukee area. Activities at South Shore Park, Sea Scouts, Lake Express Ferry, and South Shore add much to the economic input to the city of Milwaukee.
Well, thank you both very much. That was enlightening. Gives us some sense for the current status of a number of these things. And I would add, for the committee's purposes, you've had handed out a memo from Mr. Mansky. I'm afraid it was my inability to see the back of the room that I did not acknowledge him. He was going to come forward and do a verbal presentation on this, but essentially there was a perceived conflict between the proposed private activity and the county's debt on the last item, and the recommendation is to proceed. So I think it has the endorsement of the comptroller's office, just so you're aware of what that document, the order it should have been considered at. Gentlemen, thank you very much. Any other business before the committee? We therefore stand adjourned.